Welcome to the Boardroom, where we openly lie to each other for our entertainment. We'll each present an obscure topic, but the twist is, they could be real or fake. It's our job, and yours, to figure out who's full of shit. All information should be taken with a grain of salt, because even the facts are probably wrong.
Ryan, it says the numbers are red on the Zoom, right? Like counting up and stuff?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
Red 40, to be specific.
Folks, we have had a bunch of people fill in for various guests or various hosts, and today is no different. Last time when Kyle was out of town, we had Nathan stepping in to fill the giant shoes.
I forgot
that
he wasn't on that whenever that happened.
Fill the Doc Martens that Kyle wears. And today we've got another returning guest, Ryan Dudash.
Woo!
How long has it been since you were on, Ryan?
So excited, Jesus.
6 months or so.
It's only been 6 months?
6 or 8 months. Time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does. I could have sworn it was like 2 years, but that's cool.
I think he was on, the sports episode?
Yeah, I spoke about cornhole.
Oh, okay. Classic.
Yeah, it was that bad.
Classic. That was, okay. Hell yeah. Yeah, yep. So Kyle's dead, so this is Ryan.
Kyle's dead. He's snowboarding in Colorado.
Colorado.
I urged him to wear a helmet, and he just looked at me and goes, nah, man.
He's like, I won't look cool, and then you see the fucking like gear he's wearing. He looks sick.
he's got like a very classic like 1982 ski suit that he found at a thrift store, and it looks sick.
He looks like when your mom skied and she was like, look how cool I looked. That's what Kyle looks like. In a good way.
We have to say.
He's a handsome fella. I wanted to say, whenever I was in New York, a couple years back, maybe it was the last time I was there, I don't know, but I was walking by and we walked by you, right, Ryan?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was
in New York.
Yeah, in New York.
Small little city.
Small world in
Williamsburg. Pretty wild, huh? I think you were on your AirPods talking about some shit. Oh,
I was potted up.
Before we anointed you.
Small town.
Yeah.
So small neighborhood.
Folks, for a little background, if you don't remember, Ryan is engaged to we don't need to do this. Ryan's getting married and I'm going to his wedding in Colombia. Girlfriend of the pod's best friend Mariana is the betrothed to Ryan.
Colombia? Yeah. That's fucking sick.
Colombia. Yeah, it's going to be wild. Incredibly nervous.
Sure.
Why? It's just your wedding.
Yeah.
No, he's afraid of flying. That's why he's nervous.
Oh.
No.
Just
it's
drive.
The vows. It's the vow writing process. I feel like I'm you, Jordan, writing, you know, deep lyrics of meaning.
Yeah, but yours will probably be better than the stuff that I write. That'll be sweet, though. That shit does give me anxiety even thinking about it.
What, the vows or just the entire concept?
The vows. It feels stressful.
So I wanted to do them in Spanish because we're in Colombia and she was like, absolutely not. She's like, you know what you're saying, but you sound like a four-year-old. So it's like, right, I love you, Mariana, you are my world. And she's like, why would I ever want to hear you say that? Like, your hair is so pretty, your eyes beautiful.
We're getting married near the library.
Yeah. There's a terrible accent.
And also for folks that haven't seen a picture of Ryan, he is about as white as the day is long.
I know you didn't know that from his voice.
Hails from a place that hardly ever gets sun, Syracuse, New York.
It was my destiny to get married in Colombia.
Yeah, it only seemed right. So the other piece of table setting we have here is, yes, if you've seen the theme of this episode, no, we haven't run out of ideas. Yes, I know we just did award shows like a couple months ago.
Yeah, Wyatt ran out of ideas.
Fuck off. There are so many of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago, dude.
That was like in October, like when Kyle did the guys awards or the yeah whatever the
Spike
man
guy
spirit
awards or whatever
Spike guys awards yeah.
That old
that was probably that was like 4 months ago. So.
Well, you know,
what are you gonna
there's
do?
Only so many things we can talk about.
Sometimes you have to watch a rerun.
True.
Just syndicate the show. Is that what is that, Jordan? What is that?
Home
style from what the fuck's that?
That shirt that you stole?
That shirt? No, no, not that shirt that I stole. I have a what's that fucking
brewery in Nashville?
I know.
I'm just letting
you
think real quick. I thought you stole it. It's Bearded Iris.
Bearded Iris.
Yeah, I thought you stole that shirt.
Yeah. No, I bought that one. I stole another shirt from a party.
You did. That's I don't know why we went to that party. That was like a rave-esque party where you, me, and Kyle went. This isn't...
Yeah.
We don't just do this for the pod. Like, we're for real friends, and like we go to raves, and Wyatt steals shirts.
We stumbled into a rave, and I got so drunk and was in such a shitty mood that I not only stole a shirt, but peed everywhere in the bathroom that wasn't the toilet.
Oh, you pissed all over that place.
Yeah. It was a cool move.
You're
of
an
me
asshole.
As a
that
21-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. 22, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Too old to be doing that.
Yeah.
But anyway, award shows.
Here we are. You would win an award for being such a dickhead that night.
Absolutely. I'm going to do the AARP Movies for Grownups Awards.
That sounds so demeaning and fake.
Yeah, I know. I love how patronizing the title is, and it's something that I've known for a while. You can see in my background here.
It's good.
That it is, in fact, a real thing. But are the things I'm telling you about it true or not?
I don't know. I don't know. Ryan, would you like to go second or would you like to anchor this shit?
I would like to go second.
Smart call. What are you doing?
I am doing the Animal Planet Rorys.
Also,
as you can tell by my background of me and my animal compatriots.
It sounds
Ryan also, on top of being a white boy from Syracuse, seems to be located in like a church bookstore.
You're like a Fisher Price
Vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That just talks about the animals of the world.
Yeah, I stole this from Noah's Ark section.
I colored it myself. It looks sick.
We're going to talk really about sweet. John 3:16 later, too.
Hell yeah.
He's going to pepper it in.
And then speaking of white boys, I'm doing the Jammies, which is an award show all about jam bands. We'll get to that.
I love it. Are you a fan of jam bands?
No. God, no. Not even a little bit. Like any, well, Dave Matthews is as close as it gets because I do like Dave Matthews for sure. But, dude, like Grateful Dead, Paige says that she's a deadhead. I don't listen to the fucking, I don't know shit about the Grateful Dead. She starts spouting off song names. I don't know shit about the Grateful Dead.
That's insane. Also, does we'll get to it. You're going to talk about Fish. Do they have song titles? Like, do they have songs with titles?
Oh, I didn't fucking research that.
Albums?
I don't even know what they sound like, but I know that they are like one of the most influential bands in the world forever.
They probably sound like doodle-doodle-doo or, you know, whatever. Just a little very clean plucking of a guitar is what I imagine.
Yeah, I just like how hardcore they all use drugs, but it's just the most like fucking infomercial sounding stuff in my mind.
Yeah, right.
Know. Good for them. We'll get to it.
Good for them. So the AARP Movies for Grown-Up Awards. This is the time of year. This time of year is plumb with award shows. The Golden Globes, the Emmys, the Grammys, the NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, these are young people's games. What about the good card-carrying, polenta-eating aged who want to see a flick or two? They remember seeing old movies like Lawrence of Arabia or Back to the Future in theaters. So they deserve quite a bit of respect when it comes to the film critic community.
Oh my.
So for them, they have the AARP Movies for Grownups Awards. Listener of the pod, Ryan, I guess it would be the only listener of the pod, may remember me mentioning this patronizingly hilarious title in our smash hit Old People episode.
Dude.
You may expect to find that this award giving body would only honor movies like The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel or Green Book. Both were actually winners of their best picture. But they have actually been pretty spot on with their honorings. occasionally overlapping with Best Picture winners, see the Green Book mention, the quote, best movie for grown-ups has also awarded great films otherwise taken less seriously by the Oscars. Last year, the winner for the best movie for grown-ups was Top Gun Maverick.
Dude, that
Fuck
is
yeah.
so
it's a pretty
like,
sick movie.
It's a sick movie, but it feels like this is not going to be a good group of people picking these movies. You know what
I mean?
Feel
like
Why?
They just like the glory days.
It's just like, oh yeah, fucking fighter jets.
I would have given Top Gun Maverick Best Picture last year.
That's
so
insane.
Maybe I'm
That's
old.
Sequel fatigue.
That's absurd. Sequel fatigue.
So
that's an absurd take, Wyatt.
It is my favorite movie of last year. We can go through my top 10 again.
It's okay. We're good.
Yeah, is that a letterbox list you have?
No, it's a personal list, but I can put together.
Put it up on Letterboxd.
I think it's worth it. We should have a TBRPC Letterboxd account.
Ooh, we should.
Yeah. That'll be a Kyle job.
Ryan is a Letterboxd user. We can get
oh,
his
hell yeah,
his,
add me, bro.
Handle
oh,
and
dude,
plugs.
I'll add you later.
Add me.
So let's get this topic started because it's already after 6 p.m. It's 6:24 and bedtime is coming pretty close.
Uh-huh.
Elderly burn.
Oh, I see. Thought yeah. you're like fasting or something, but okay.
started in 2002. The AARP MFGAs. Jesus Christ, that's so long.
AARP.
What a coffin one. We've built for ourselves trying to get these acronyms out. Originally, were only available to subscribers of the AARP magazine.
That's so stupid.
But likely due to the sweeping success of AARP's booming industry, they moved to a live ceremony in 2006.
Huh.
Who better to host that ceremony than the hottest stars of the day? Angela Lansbury and Shelley Berman, both 80 years old at the time.
Ooh.
What the fuck? Who are they?
I was thinking you were going to say Jane Fonda.
Yeah, I would have watched that shit. Hell yeah.
She's way too young for that.
Way too hot for the AARP.
Yeah, exactly. Step aside, Jamie Foxx. We got Angela Lansbury knocking the dust off her bones. Originally having just pretty standard awards like your best picture for grown-ups or best movie for grown-ups, best director, actor, actress, etc. They added categories that are honestly a mix between the Kids' Choice Awards and what the Oscars probably should have.
Slime.
So now they've got best intergenerational film.
Oh my God.
Best time capsule movie, which is basically best period piece, aka what I like to call the simpler times category.
Mm-hmm.
Best buddy picture, best grown-up love story, best ensemble, breakthrough achievement, which was removed in 2015, best comedy, removed in 2017, and my favorite, best movie for grown-ups who refuse to grow up.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
What is it, like Jackass Part 4?
No, if
it's
only.
Bad Grandpa.
But they did honor masterpieces such as School of Rock.
That's sick.
And the 2009 Star Trek. So, you know, Oscars are cowards.
Yeah.
The Oscars should fucking have breakthrough achievement. They should have, like, a best, like, best new artist style thing. Like, someone who fucking, like, came
like
out, this is their first
discovery.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's fair.
Like the kid from The Holdovers this year, the kid from the Fabelmans last year.
Yep.
Great shit.
100%.
You know? In researching this topic, I went over to AARP's website. Thank God for this podcast. It affords me so many new opportunities that I just love having. There I found your standard, here are the top 10 best things coming to Hulu and Max this month. Where one of the recs for Max, by the way, was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which again is like a movie from 1968 that I just think that's funny that they're like, you can check out this one that you remember being good from
good
when you
Lord.
Were a kid.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, fucking scary.
What? No, I've never seen it. I don't know.
I feel like I remember the car and the wall.
I was
going to
say, there's a car there.
That's about it.
Like on a string or something.
Yeah. No, there's a scene where this guy who's like a child catcher.
I'm sorry.
Goes
what?
Out and he
Rumpelstiltskin.
He kidnaps children, and it's genuinely really fucking freaky.
Huh?
Like freakier than
Look
Charlie
up the child
and the
catcher
Chocolate
from
Factory?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Good question.
that whole tunnel of love scene?
I mean, I don't know. Less I would say yes. This one scene is like genuinely like scarring. But you just look it up on YouTube. I'll pull up a picture during one of your guys' topics.
Thank you.
That.
That's so kind.
Yeah, that's sick, dude.
You're welcome. But amongst the crowd was an article titled "Grownups Seize the Spotlight in 2024 Nominations."
So true.
Stars over 50 were nominated in all acting categories, and the Best Picture contenders owe their success to older viewers. This article goes on to highlight actors and filmmakers such as Paul Giamatti, Annette Bening, Jodie Foster, Robert Downey Jr., Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese, and more that were all nominated this year. All of the older generation.
Bradley Cooper looked old as fuck. They can like him.
I guess, yeah. I mean, if he's older, over 50, then he's eligible for this whole thing.
Maestro is like 112 in that movie, so it's chill.
There was a real sense of pride that came through the writing, and I began to realize that Grownups is an intentionally silly and catchy title used to make the AARP members feel not so stymied by their age.
Yeah.
This was never a topic to rag on this award show. As stated before, I have weirdly a lot of respect for them grabbing good movies and nominations that are fun and not just treacly art movies. Like the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel 2, or the second best exotic marigold, whatever.
Oh, that's a
cool one. They nominated The Woman King last year, and that movie fucking rules. So like,
did it rule?
Maybe there's something
to
them.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember that movie? That movie was sick. Ryan, have you seen The
Woman
King?
I did not see it.
I saw it.
Offering better representation for female filmmakers, honoring movies that otherwise may not get their due chance in the awards spotlight, and having a funny name all together give the AARP Movies for Grownups Awards a green light in my book. Since 2018, since 2018, they have been broadcast on PBS, fittingly.
Of course.
So I say, we move the award season to earlier in the year and forego the Oscars entirely.
Yeah.
And if you don't have cable, fear not, Gramps. You also have the option to watch them by signing into your AARP account and streaming them from your desktop computer.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you can watch. You can stream them if you have an AARP online portal.
We all have old people in our lives.
Good
and
thing
I
you know
none
that
of them are
I'm
doing
a member.
That.
Mariana signed me up 2 years ago for AARP, thinking we would get discounts.
Is this real?
I swear to God.
Can you watch movies?
Anyone
like
can
that?
Be up. I think so, but I was just looking through my emails of the last one I got before hitting the unsubscribe, and it was Sex After 50, The Surprising Health Benefits.
Aw, interesting.
As a 27-year-old at the time, I didn't really think that catered to my demographic.
You don't know that, dude. Anything can happen.
If you wouldn't mind just, you know, reading it and just recording a little Spark Notes version, I'll just plop that
it's
in.
It's important.
Right,
you can just send it over. We just need it for research.
Yeah. If there are any pictures, too, Jordan would love
those. Just send it
over. Unfortunately, it looks like the link broke. I think, you know, probably time's up at AARP.
Damn.
Died like all the rest of them.
So Jesus Christ.
I was kidding.
Old I was gonna go there
listen
too.
To podcast.
Person creating the links probably died.
Right. So if there's time later or if we need a tiebreaker, we can go through some of the winners and nominees. Because there's some surprising ones, but that's that for you guys. That's the AARP
very nice.
For grownups.
Movies for grownups.
Simple one. Shit.
Yes, that's my turn now.
Yes, right. It is.
Hit it, big boy.
Have you ever barked like a dog?
Yeah.
And said, damn, was that me or actually a dog?
Oof, oof. Okay.
And you said,
I'm in, dude.
Said, could I win an award for this? Well, let me tell you, you could be a winner at the Rorys. The 2022 Animal Planet Rorys, also called by nerds the Animal Sound Awards, were hosted by the Irwins, honoring their father for receiving the lifetime achievement for animal advocacy. You know, hand up, who doesn't love the Irwins?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good evening, everyone. We're thrilled to be your host for tonight's incredible event, said Bindi Irwin. I'm trying the Australian accent. I don't know if it works.
Yeah, it sounds like Indian or something.
Yeah, it's good.
That's right, Bindi. It's going to be a wild night of unforgettable performances that our father would have been very jazzed at, added in Robert. Like any award show today, the Roys have been blasted with corporate sponsorship by any brand looking to get some cheap marketing. I'm talking about you, Rainforest Cafe. How do you even still exist? Each category has three or more dedicated creature noise makers ferociously vying for coveted titles in their respective categories. Some could say the forest, or the audience, has come alive with anticipation tonight. The zookeepers chattered excitedly. Studio execs looking for the next break, sang in harmony, and even the ushers hooted in approval. This evening, I'm going to walk you through the more exciting categories ready for the spotlight. There were a lot because the animal kingdom's large, but I figured we could get four or five in, make some fun. I'm going to try my best to replicate what they put down. These are experts.
Which is exciting.
I'm nearly a fan.
Sure. So don't expect too much, you know, but he will be doing his best.
Putting it out there. This is your star, just an admirer of animal sounds.
Could this also be interpreted as your audition for
that's a question?
This is recorded. So
it's
true.
We can send this in,
and we will get a massive influx of Rory fans to this podcast now. So yeah,
exactly. This is going to finally put him on the map.
It's going to change things.
Just like how I signed Jordan up to be a judge at the Freddy's on our last award show, I might just send this audio in to the Rorys. I've been known to be a little scam.
You're a little mischievous.
Speaking of, I guess not mischievous, but scary.
Yeah.
The best predator impersonation by Nat Geo. A kill or be killed category, you can say. If you can draw blood through your cry, you're in the competition. This year, Dominic Wilder of Tulsa, Oklahoma, came away with the prize for his lion roar, beating Penny Parsons for her panther impersonation. It's a tongue twister if it isn't. I'm going to try to go for what Dominic Wilder put down. The clip was a little tough, but it was more like, roar!
What's crazy shit. Is you're doing an impression of another person's impression.
Also, just so maybe
really tough.
Maybe you discussed it in your little preamble, but man, it's really hitting me what the fuck's happening right now. So these people use microphones to make animal noises. Where do those go? Like, is this
into
for cartoons?
No, this is for ad libs for cartoons, exactly as you mentioned. So, you know, when Mufasa dies in Lion King, someone has to make that sound.
Why don't they just get
Dominic
animals
Wilder
to do it?
Could do it. That's really tough.
I guess.
It's easier to have a person, but soon, you never know, AI might take these people's jobs.
Okay. Maybe you will, dude. That was incredible.
That was really good. You know, that's probably one of the more intense ones that we'll see tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm shaking
in my
boots.
You're sweating. It's chill.
I'm quivering. But for our light-hearted fans, the Audubon Society of New York ended up presenting Most Melodic Bird Song. I actually wasn't sure what Audubon was. Do you guys know what it is?
It's the highway thing with no speed limit.
See that up.
It's Audubon is a bird fan club.
Oh.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Of course,
had to Google and learn a new word today.
Yeah.
But the Audubon...
Big birdies over here.
Yeah, I'm big into bird. Central Park regular Serena Sorrentini created a symphony of nature, capturing the essence of the North American Blue Jay with each haunting cry and cheerful trill to take home her fourth award, a perennial favorite.
And Ryan's going to try to do the same.
He's going to be eight birds real quick. No, it's good.
God.
Yeah, it was good. It's like I closed my eyes and I'm there. You know how pissed off the people would be, the ones that won the award? It's like, no, no, I did not sound like that.
That's not the North American Blue Jay.
That's much the South true. American.
But who doesn't love a good time? And
that's true.
Really,
that's
with the which whatever's left in their marketing budget from all these spring break parties, our dear friends at the Rainforest Cafe bring you Ribbit Royalty, the best frog croak.
Yeah.
Which has a special prize. They did say you get a $50 gift card. Not only you get to the idol of Frog King, you also get $50 to Rainforest Cafe. What a dream.
That's like I'm two meals this. There.
That's like three margaritas.
Yeah, dude.
Because that's all you need.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever eaten at a fucking Rainforest
Cafe? Oh my God.
Cafe?
More like how many times have I eaten at a Rainforest Cafe?
I had literally never heard about it until maybe like
you guys have never eaten
years
there?
Ago.
I mean, it's not very good, but it's like, it's pretty fun.
I've actually eaten there once. It's definitely like you go to Florida and you have a bad time.
Dude, the amount of times I've been there in Florida. But they have one at the mall in Nashville. I've been to that one.
Oh, right. Eddie Burback went there for one of his videos.
Oh, Eddie Burback.
When he went to all of the Rainforest Cafes. See that video.
The fuck? That's a thing? It's fun, though, because they do like thunderstorms like once every dinner, and there's a little thunderstorm that happens, and the lights go down. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got to go.
He did that, and he also went to all the Margaritavilles. Anyway, shout out to Eddie Burback. Rip.
Shout out, Eddie Burback. Wyatt, if you ever want to go, Edison, New Jersey. Where
hell yeah.
Local native Jasper Croakston hopped and leapt up on that podium with a resonant croak for all the listeners to hear, where Frog reigns supreme and showcased his unique vocalization with a skill and flair like no other.
What'd he sound like?
It's really tough to do.
I believe
it. But
it
was like, yeah. Ribbit.
I'm not going to lie to you, dude. That didn't seem that tough to do. You just said ribbit.
It's really tough to do in front of people, in front of us.
Stuff. It's tough, dude.
Emotionally,
trying to maintain credibility here.
It's emotionally
tough. I'm putting myself on the line for the frog croak.
You are.
But who cannot, you know, end, you know, at least for this snippet, with man's best friend. Presented by Purina. The canine crescendo. And boy. They're so good with these names.
Yeah. They got a lot
but boy,
of
I was shocked to hear some of the controversy around this one. Little did I know, this category has been hotly debated since dog became man's best friend. After all of the submissions, there were two final candidates with two distinct personalities.
Fuck you.
I know they didn't say that, and I know you did.
I added that. You have to add the flair. In one paw, we had Terry Drexler, whose poodle Yip had the judges drooling like a slobby Kong. On the other paw, we had a guy named Spike. I tried to find his last name, but he just goes by Spike, and his woof had not only the judges, but even the audience running to the nearest hydrant to relieve themselves.
This is insane. Are you in an apartment? Like, are people listening to you just make shit up with your mouth right now?
My dog is down there.
My dog's like, that didn't even sound good.
It doesn't even sound like a dog, man.
That was bad.
But after a split decision, the competition was tied and went off to a bark-off, as anything would.
Bark-off. Yeah, I just imagine 8 Mile with two of the cutest dogs in the world.
Well, they're people. It's the one thing you have to remember. They're people, Jordan.
Fuck, dude. I did, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I was imagining like Homeward Bound dogs. But these are men.
Yeah. Spike.
I can't tell you how many arguments that have been settled by Bree and I going into a bark-off. Yeah. Jeez.
Terry yipped and yapped until his heart could yip or yap no longer.
He died.
While Spike was barking up and down with ease. It was all going Spike's way until... all of a sudden, some microphone feedback came on from Spark. Or Spike. Jesus. Spike had been using technology the whole time.
No
fucking
way.
Just to be barking like a madman or a mad dog.
No fucking way.
Immediately sent to the doghouse, Terry triumphed and yipped a sound of joy. Every dog does have its day.
I was so into this being real until that, and I'm like, wait,
yeah,
there's an opportunity for this to be fake. It's obviously it's gotta be fake, right?
Dude, this is as real as it can
we'll
get.
We'll see. Wow.
We shall see.
Now, with a snippet of these amazing people and their natural talents, the Rorys continue to celebrate a diverse array of vocalizations found throughout the animal kingdom. Yeah. Further highlighting the magical bond between humans and creatures.
Sure,
who knows who we'll see next year? Could Jurassic Park sponsor dinosaur noises? Do dinosaurs even make noises? Tune in to Animal Planet to find out.
You just work for Animal Planet and that's what this is?
Yeah, I'm a special agent. This is how the views go up.
He's an inside man. That was amazing.
Whole powerhouse. I'll finish with my two bark renditions.
Oh,
this is good.
Yip.
Of course. And that's the loser.
That's Terry, who won by default.
Oh, and that's right. He didn't cheat.
is what Spike was doing with a computer.
The fact that Spike had to have a computer to do what you just did.
Scumbag. Yeah.
Says everything it needs to. Fucking scumbag.
Mariana is a lucky woman.
That's crazy.
All right.
Jesus. Wow.
Served it up to you on a platter there, Jordan.
You did. Holy shit. So on a similar note, the jammies, you guys, we're feeling the sleepy after effects of yesterday's Usher concert. So let's start with some word association. I'm going to throw some stuff at you, and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Ready? Mm-hmm. Dave Matthews Band.
Ants Marching.
Cool.
Chicago.
The Grateful Dead.
Big Mountains of Weed.
Jerry Garcia.
Allman Brothers.
The Almonds. Fact that I was afraid to listen to them when I was a kid because I thought it was the Allman Brothers.
I thought about
Brothers.
That when I wrote it down. Fucking Fish, dude.
Donuts.
Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream.
Cool. Other than getting hella ass and talking about craft beer, what do all these guys have in common? Well, they're jam bands. That's right. Now, for you top 40 listening laymen, a jam band is a musical group that primarily features improv jamming. A lot of the time, they'll play variations of their pre-existing songs and extend them to improvise over chords. I don't know why I did this. I have over so chords. Much in here. I was just fucking on autopilot.
Is there more?
Yeah. They jam out for so long. They jam out like too long. And there, some people love that shit. Jam bands started out of the psychedelic rock movement of the 60s with bands like, as I mentioned, the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers. However, new wave jam bands really sealed the deal for jam band fans like Blues Traveler, Dave Matthews Band, and of course, Fish, the jam band. Did you have a question?
No, I've seen Humphreys McGee though.
What?
They're a jam band, and I've seen them, and they've got an annoying name. That's pretty much all
Humphreys
I have to say about
McGee.
That.
Humphreys McGee.
Humphreys McGee. I have no idea who that is. I've seen Dead and Company quite a few times.
So you're like a deadhead.
Dude, John Mayer rocks in that.
Rocks.
Yeah, but John Mayer rocks.
I'm like, damn, John Mayer is the hottest man alive with a guitar.
Man's is hot. He knows what he's doing.
I went to Bonnaroo when Fish was headlining a few years ago, and I worked with this guy who was like, you know, a diehard Fish head.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, you're going to have the best time. They're going to, he literally said, it's going to change your life.
Did it change
and
your
you
life?
You know what I did not do? Is go see Fish, because I was just like, I can't, even if I like have a good time, I can't let this guy know that I had a good time.
I can't name one Fish song. I don't know shit about Fish.
I just know that they got Trey Anastasio.
Like the As Seen on TV Awards, or the Old People Watching Movie Awards, or the Animals Making Cute Sounds Awards, every group is worthy of an award, even jam bands. I present to you the Jammies. as it is an obvious, hilarious play on the Grammys. The first annual Jammy Awards were held June 22nd, 2000, right in Ryan and Wyatt's backyard, Irving Plaza, New York City.
Ooh, right in Midtown there.
Yeah,
Gramercy, actually. Sorry.
It was presented by none other than jambands.com, which is still very much an active site, resembling sites like sucks. Ultimate Guitar or Craigslist, i.e., it looks shitty.
Good slam on Ultimate Guitar. They deserve to be taken down a peg.
I used it so much, though.
I still use it, but it's a shitty fucking Wonderwall website.
I want Brie to want to have sex with me. Let me take a sec and say, while writing this, I kind of felt how I imagine Kyle feels when he talks about not liking Taylor Swift all that much. Jam bands do not fuck around, just as Wyatt was talking about his fish head friend. He's probably weird as hell, right?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. And most of these fans can drive. And they're walking among us everywhere, silently. I would not love to be caught talking shit about jam bands to a jam bander, but I did write this whole topic about their silly little awards show, so just know that we're all having fun.
Don't worry, they're too busy listening to an hour long one song.
Yeah,
to listen
they're like,
to
this, oh, that so. Podcast is only an hour.
Come on,
dude, it's the
put Rush songs to shame.
I only like the hour one from Pasadena, 1972.
That is an incredible set. Oh my god.
Oh my god, the way they played that one.
I didn't realize how integral that what you're making fun of the mm-hmm. recording of the live shit is. I knew nothing.
Oh, it's everything.
They have like specific apps for like bands.
Yeah.
Are you talking about nugs.net?
Yeah.
That's insane. I almost bought a nugs.net subscription.
Right after your AARP subscription.
They didn't have a combo membership there. You know, nothing like Dave Matthews Live.
Couldn't get a package deal.
Two for one.
The Jammy Awards were founded by Dean Budnick and Peter Shapiro, both publishers, venue owners, radio hosts, and writers of books and columns about how tight jam bands are. Like any awards night, there were two basic components. I say were because this shit is obviously not a thing anymore. The two basic components, awards presented for various categories, and of course, a long-ass performance section. Just dudes jamming out. Awards for the first annual Jammies consisted of categories like Jam of the Year, won by the Disco Biscuits, New Groove of the Year, won by Fat Mama, Best Jambands.com Writer, won by Jeff Waffool, my favorite, Best Fan Website, won by E-Tree. The list really does go on and on and
no
on.
No idea who these people
that
are.
Sucks.
No, dude. This would be the easiest thing to make up, but I didn't. Performances. I tell you what, if either of you can guess one artist that performed, I'll send you $500 right now.
Oh, fuck. And it's not like, it's
not the top normal ones?
I don't know, dude.
Fat Mama.
Not Fat Mama, dude. Fuck them.
Phil
Lesh.
They didn't
play. They got
cowards. What'd you say?
It's Phil Lesh.
Nah.
Pigeons playing ping pong.
Is that a thing? Or are you just like practicing
your
words?
That's a thing. I actually I knew one. I knew a pigeon's brother.
A pigeon's brother. No, but if you had said,
"Hey, wait, what sound is a what?" Real quick, what sound does a pigeon make?
A
pigeon
that's a good
goes,
one.
Quah! It's more of like a
yeah, exactly.
There you go. Okay.
Dude, yeah, give
Ryan,
me a run
not
for my
a
money.
Good sign for you to do your vows in Spanish if you can't roll your R's.
Oh,
that is a red flag.
Terrible. Can't do it.
But if you guys had said a band like Frog Wings or Les Claypool or John Scofield or Strange Folk or Deep Banana Blackout or The Slip, I would have given you $500.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big deal.
While
talking on record about the Jammies, co-creator Peter Shapiro said, "The idea for the Jammies was to create a night of music where we didn't know what was going to happen. We wanted to bring artists who not only hadn't played together, but hadn't met. And now, after experiencing what went down, it's a pretty overwhelming feeling. The show featured more than 5 hours, 5 hours of nonstop music and presentation.
Fuck that.
Right, dude? Cool.
That's a lot.
When was this?
This was the year 2000.
Oh. Oh, man. Well, we were in an earlier time, in a simpler
just
time.
Just wait. The Jammies' success, I wanted to say that sarcastically, but people really fucking loved this shit, and it led them to carry on with the award show 6 more times in 01, 02, 04, 05, 06, and 08. I'll spare you the details.
We don't talk about
03. There was only one Fish album that year. It's bullshit.
Fucked.
I'll spare you the details of each and every year. However, I will hit some highlights. The third year brought with it performances by John Mayer, members of Dave Matthews Band, but not Dave Matthews, and Blue Oyster Cult. Ooh. The 2004 Jammies took place at Madison Square Garden, which is where it continued to be hosted all of its subsequent years.
Wow.
At this particular show, rock band The Black Crowes were revived. Phil Lesh of The Grateful Dead hosted in 2005, where Questlove and Peter Frampton both played. At the final award show, arguably the jam band made an appearance and played their asses off, Fish.
Nice.
Question. Do you all know why Fish's community is so tight-knit and massive? This is not rhetorical. I think we've already talked about this. Do you guys know?
Mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely helps.
That they play in so many places?
I did some fish research and found that Rolling Stone listed them as the most influential band of the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Huh?
I don't know if I feel about...
Ever hear of Sugar Ray?
Dude, I would put Sugar Ray more influential than Fish. I'm going to get death threats. They were responsible for the start of Bonnaroo. Did you know that?
I did know that.
I didn't know that. They've played Madison Square Garden 83 times. And Fish heads reach across the aisle. Both Tucker Carlson and Bernie Sanders have been quoted as saying that Fish is one of the greatest bands in the country. They can hang their hat on that.
Is that where, did Tucker just throw that in during the Putin interview? He's just like, by the way.
It's like, where's the camera?
Are you into Fish at all?
So I know what you're thinking. If the jam band world was popping off like gangbusters, what the fuck? What happened in 2009 and beyond? The answer is, I don't know.
Ooh.
From what I could find, a lot of the Jammies' content was centered around legacy artists, so it just stopped being original. However, there is good news for the Jammy lover, and if you're a Jammy lover, what I'm about to tell you might be old news. You see, some say that the Jammies became obsolete not only because of the legacy thing, but also because of the rollout of Jam Cruise. Are you familiar with Jam Cruise?
I actually am, unfortunately.
You're familiar with Jam Cruise? I mean, that is definitely a thing, and I will talk more about it, but not today.
Or like
but
jam vacations.
Pretty much. The rollout of Jam Cruise. Now, seeing as though this is the awards ep, I won't dive too deep. Just know that there is a cruise ship that is about to celebrate its 20th anniversary that is totally devoted to jam band culture. All that and more to come on our next episode, Cruise Ships. That's a joke.
Calling
That's
it
not our next episode, but I will find a way to talk about the Jam Cruise.
Can you imagine the kind of sweaty, hairy sex that's going on in
this?
Dude,
so much.
Smelly.
The nastiest,
so much
shit.
Like chafing from the bathing suits.
Yeah, it's not good.
And I was gonna say sunburns, but they're outside a lot, so
yeah, I think
I
they're
know.
Pretty
maybe
well
they
tanned.
Are getting, maybe yeah,
just musty,
musty yeah. Dude.
Either way,
that's
no good.
That's the Jammies.
I'd watch, love it. Would you go if you were given free tickets, Jordan,
to go to the Jammies or go to the Jam Cruise?
Jammies.
Yo, and they fuck brought it back. Yeah. If it was free, yeah,
I'd go.
I'd okay, go. I cool. don't think I would ever go again. I would just go to say
no,
I've
sure.
been there. But 5 hours of just, dude, I could be seeing my favorite band in the world. And if they're going on like 5 or 10 minutes of playing shit that isn't involving their vocal, I'm out. Yeah. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
like people soloing.
You don't see Drake just like hanging out there for a little while and in the middle of his song.
Yeah, dude, I'm here for Drake. I don't care about your fucking solo. I know 8-year-old boys that can solo.
I will say that's the craziest part of the Grateful Dead is they just have drum solos for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's called space. And you're just, I'm like, this is where I get 7 Twisted Tees and I shotgun them before sitting back down.
It's intermission, but just not for them.
So the drummer's going to go crazy while everyone else hangs out.
There's an album that my dad used to listen to by the Allman Brothers called Eat a Peach. And on there is a 30-minute jam song. And I like had it on CD when I was in Nashville, Jordan, the Crayons car. Yeah. Didn't have a aux cord, so I just had a bunch of CDs. And every once in a while, I would just come across, like, it would just, I think it was like song 3 on the album. And I was like, I'm stuck in traffic, so this will just, I don't have to like worry about it.
I was
going to
say, you just look
and
over
just,
and you're just fucking jamming out, fucking, man.
Slapping the bass.
Okay, so I did the AARP's Movies for Grown Ups Awards.
I did the Animal Planet Rory's.
I did the Jammies.
So excited about it. I think Ryan's was fake and Jordan's was real.
I think Wyatt and Jordan's were both real.
I think Wyatt and Ryan's were fake.
Mine was real. Fuck.
Mine was obviously fake.
Hell yeah, dude. That's insane. Where did that even strike
that was
you?
Wonderful,
you know, I went through so many iterations and I was just like, I'm going to make noises on the pod and see if it works.
Mine was real.
Oh.
Okay.
So did you guys
did
tie?
I win?
Or did?
Or is there a tie?
It's a tie.
You guys tie.
Okay, wonderful.
Call it a bark off.
Real quick.
Bark off. How are we going to break this tie? I can find some jam band facts.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, here's an easy one. Name one Fish song.
Farmhouse.
Fuck.
I think he wins. Is that really it?
Is that a song? Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking.
I literally could not do it.
No, I could not. I could have. I would have just started saying words. Okay, I guess I guess they are the jam band. So you win. You're the expert here.
Wonderful.
Fucking absurd.
We got an elephant, maybe.
I was trying to add in more categories, but I didn't want to sound too crazy. Like I was gonna do Gecko clicks, but
well, now you have to do it.
Click. Like you can't even do it.
Not even clicking. You were just saying click.
That's where I struggled. I couldn't, like an elephant, I'd look ludicrous. I had to seem somewhat real.
Right. So, yeah, credible.
So, like dog barking, lion roars, easy.
Just your hits, your animal hits. Yeah.
I will say, have you guys seen Steve Irwin's son? He's been popping up on Bree's TikTok recently.
No.
He looks exactly like Steve Irwin. It is like when we first saw him, we were like, Jesus Christ, it is like looking at a dead man. Yeah. It's really crazy.
I bet he's not so easy breezy about touching stingrays, though.
Not so easy breezy about touching stingies.
No, stingies.
Stingies.
Well, fuck. I feel like we don't that often have guests win.
Yeah, well, congrats, Ryan.
Fucking good job.
Good job or whatever. We're sore losers.
Fish has a song called Reba. And for some reason, I bet it's not even about Reba. It's like something. It's like a folklore called Reba.
It's about Reebok shoes.
Reebok.
Anyway, with that, Ryan, you got anything to plug? What's your letterbox, by the way?
Oh my God, letterbox is do daddy DUDADDY. Because who's Wonderful. Your do daddy? I am.
Here's your movie, Doodaddy.
I got it. Only plug is, you know, getting married. Gonna be a wild time. You know, last time I'm single on the pod.
Oh shit,
he's
dude.
Plugging the concept.
We gotta do
of
something
marriage.
Crazy.
Yep.
Start barking.
Is this right here your bachelor party?
Yeah, this is it.
This is wild.
That's cool. That's
howl
so cool.
At the moon. Be sure to kiss your loved ones. Howl at the moon tonight and have a good
Love
night.
That. So good.
Love it.
Wow.
Jordan, what do you got?
This comes out Monday. Oh, I just announced that my album is coming out this summer. I've got some songs coming out in a couple weeks. Ooh. And just chipping away at that whole music thing.
You got that show coming up on the 23rd,
I got
right?
a show the 23rd, and I got a show the 29th, Leap Day.
Nice. Ooh. Nice.
Once every 4 years.
Yes, sir. I'll never do it again for 4 years.
Where are they?
They're both at the basement. I made an oopsie, but we're all fine.
The basement or basement east?
They're just both at the basement.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Same venue. Cool. Oopsies.
Why is that an oopsie?
Because you're not supposed to do it proximity-wise. You're supposed to give some weeks between, but like, we'll live.
Back to back.
Is that a bit of a Nashville faux pas? Also, just to like cap things off here, Reba, mutter nature to the nag with the lipstick perfume. Reba, flush a flesh farm leftover. Thunder in a circle down the pipes. I think I gotta go listen to
Fish. Sounds like
I'm
gonna get really into Fish now.
Sounds like some shit Kyle loves. Bag it, tag it, sell it to the butcher in the store. Bag it, tag it, sell it to the butcher in the store. This is sick. It's like Tool.
Yeah, honestly, I become a Fish fan.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I got nothing else really going on. I should just stop saying it that way.
You just be like, I'm really so sad. Busy with all the cool shit I have going on.
I got crazy shit going on. Mostly just this podcast started over again. Rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And just, you know.
Howl at the moon.
Howl at the moon.
Howl
dude.
At the moon.
Or the dog's out.
Da-do-ka.
Dude, just do the outro.
Sure.
This has been a Guilty Dogs podcast.